2 Corinthians chapter 1 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1230, page 1230. We'll read responsively the first six verses of this chapter, with special attention given to the third and fourth verses, the text verses for this morning's message. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Let's read the verses responsively. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And let's pray. Our gracious dear Lord, to give us this day of the week that permits us to assemble as the Christian family, the First Baptist Church family, and we thank thee for this day. We pray for your blessing upon this particular service. We pray for thy Spirit's power to be openly displayed in our midst as we listen and hear the Word of God. We pray that thou wouldst bless our preacher, and help him as he preaches, help us as we hear that which you've given him. In Jesus' name, amen.
May I ask you to be sure and pray for me and for the staff in the next few days. We, like everybody else, have had the flu. Whole nations had it. We're not unique in that, but we've had it. I got it about 3.5 weeks ago, and it's still lingering on just a little bit. It's left me with an awful bad cough and sinus problem. And our staff, many have had the same thing, and we're facing pastor school. And on to that, we're coming to pastor school this year with the biggest burden of the 23 years. I mean that when I say that. No pastor school has ever been like this one. It'll be the most unique. I'm not saying it'll be the best. But it'll be the one with the biggest burden. I'll not tell you why, because we're not divulging the theme to anybody. But I believe that our nation has never needed any theme like we need the one that will be emphasized in pastor school this year. It'll be unique. Everybody that's here will not like it. It may be our last one. I mean, it just may be that it'll not be as enjoyable as the other 22. But this year, we're delivering our souls, and I think the most needed of all the pastor schools. So, pray for us. We're not as young as we were 23 years ago. In fact, we're 23 years older. And it's amazing the truth that comes across this pulpit, isn't it? It just flows out all the time like that. But I hope you will pray for us in what I think is the most important of all the pastor schools. I want to speak this morning on God's two ways of comforting. I'm not going to ask you not to turn to it, but to listen very carefully as I read one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Listen to it carefully. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us, now get it, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let me see what it means. Our God is the God of all comfort. In every tribulation we have, He is available to comfort us. And once we're comforted, we are then qualified to comfort others who are in trouble with that same comfort that God comforted us. I think if you will listen this morning, you will learn a wonderful truth as I speak on the subject, God's two ways of comforting our Heavenly Father. Do thou this morning, in this place, through this undeserving vessel standing behind this pulpit, do thou this morning give us a truth that will help us, enrich us, and in some cases, transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. May I have your attention, please? Paul was praising God that God comforted him. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And Paul was praising God for the comfort that God had given to him through the years. Then he mentions a wonderful byproduct, and this is it. Not only did God comfort Paul in all of his tribulations, but while being comforted, Paul observed how to comfort others with the same comfort that God had comforted him. Now, this is a horrible illustration, but it'll give you a little idea. I used to go to the chiropractor. Down in Texas, we had a chiropractor on our deacon board. And I used to get adjustments. Every time I look at that old Sam Baxter song in the books that says, "I don't want to get adjusted," I know what the fellow meant who wrote that. I used to get adjustments. And you know, it looks so simple to me. God just stops down, runs his finger down your back, and pushes every once in a while. I thought, shoot, I can do that. So, Linda was the only body in the family that trusted me. But as long as Linda was home, I gave her adjustments. Now, I'm not sure if they were right or not. And, of course, Linda's been in a wheelchair now for several years. But I'd act like the doctor just started running his fingers down your back and he'd stop and push. I'd do that and something would always crack. And you'd hear that little click, click, click. And, so I don't know whether it did good or not, but she thought it did. And almost every night before Linda go to bed, I'd give her an adjustment. And, anybody here like to get an adjustment? Hiles Chiropractic Office in the office building over here. $10 per adjustment, please. I guarantee you'll never be the same. but I watched the chiropractor do it on me, and I thought, shoot, I believe I can do that. Or whether I thought shoot or not, but I thought I think I can do that. Now, Paul is saying this. Paul is saying, God has comforted me in all of my tribulations. All of my trials and all of my heartaches, God has comforted me. Then he said, but there's something else that is a byproduct of God comforting me. I have noticed how God comforts me. And in noticing how God has comforted me, I said, shoot. And of course, that's Paul didn't say shoot, but he would have if he'd been from Texas. And he said, I believe I can do that. I believe I can do to others what God has done to me. I believe that I can go to folks who have troubles
And I believe that I can be to them when they have their troubles what God has been to me when I have had my troubles. So he saw how God comforts and how God comforted him, and he learned it. In turn, he did to others what he saw God do to him. By the way, we're to do that not only with comfort, we're to do that with love. God loves me. Most amazing fact in the world is that God loves me. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Now, God loves me. And as I look up to God and receive his love and become a recipient of his marvelous love, I say, I believe I can do that. There are people that do not come straight to God for love, but I believe that I can take the love that God has given to me, and I believe that I can give that love to mankind, that same love. Same thing's true concerning forgiveness. There are people that will never come to God and see God's forgiveness, but I come to God and get forgiveness from God. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about you're going to a priest or a preacher and he forgives your sins. I'm not talking about that. But I believe that I can show you, as I forgive you of what you've done to me, I believe I can show you how God forgave me for what I've done to him. And so I come to God and I say, dear God, I need comfort. And God comforts me. And I say, not only do I think it's wonderful that God has comforted me, but I believe I can comfort others like he comforted me with the same comfort. That's what the Bible says here. I come to God and say, God, love me. And God loves me. And I say, my, that's a wonderful thing. I believe I can go to others, and I believe I can show others that same love of God as I love them through him. I believe I can go to others and say, I've gotten mercy from God. Now, I believe I can do what God has done. I believe that I can give you the mercy of God, same type mercy that God has given me. Isn't that what John meant when he said, as he is, so are we in this world? Isn't that what Paul meant when he said, we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God? You know what I'm supposed to say this morning from behind this pulpit? I'm supposed to say what Jesus would say if he stood behind this pulpit this morning. You know what I'm supposed to preach this morning? I'm to preach the same words that Jesus would preach if he stood behind this pulpit. He is not here. He's booked solid at the right hand of the Father, pleading my case as my intercessor. And so he sent me this morning as his representative. And I stand here this morning in Christ's stead. And I am supposed to say what he would say if he were here. I am supposed to love as he would love if he were here. I am supposed to comfort as he would comfort if he were here. Let me illustrate. This, again, is a bit crude, but I think it will illustrate. I contend that a soul-winning church is 10 times better than an evangelistic church. Now, an evangelistic church is a church where the preacher stands behind the pulpit, preaches the gospel. The people bring unsaved people to the services. The preacher preaches to them and tries to preach them down the aisle to receive Christ as Savior. I'm not against that. I'm for it. But I can beat it. I believe that the best way to do it is for hundreds and thousands of us, as we do every week, to leave this place and go out in the highways and the byways and the hedges and tell the story out there where people are and get them saved. Now, wait a minute. Here's what I'm saying. A person who gets saved in this auditorium cannot go out and do to anybody else what had just been done to him. He can't go out and get a crowd of several thousand people and preach to them. But a man that gets saved in his living room learned how to be a soul winner before he got saved. Because he saw you winning him to Christ, and by the time he receives Christ, he has already seen a demonstration in soul winning. That's why it's nothing unusual here for somebody to get saved one week and win someone to Christ the next week. Why? Because they've already seen a demonstration of a soul being saved when they got saved. And they say, look, that soul winner got me saved and led me to Christ, and Christ saved me. I believe I could do that because I saw him do it to me. So a woman says, I'll try that on my husband. Or I'll try that on my daughter. Or a man says, I'll try that on my son. Or I'll try that on my friend. So what it amounts to is a person gets saved, and not only do they get saved in personal soul winning, but they watch the soul winner do the job. And the man said, the new convert says, I can do it now. That's what Paul is saying. Paul said, thanks be to God that he's comforted me in all my tribulations. But that isn't all he said. He said he's comforted me in order that I, who have seen him, comfort me, may in turn go out and comfort others. Now here's the key to it. With that same comfort that he gave to me. Now, I want to make several observations this morning. Observation number one. Now listen carefully to this. Most people do not know how to come to God for comfort. Let me say it again. Everybody hear it. Most people do not know how to come to God for comfort. Now, here's the new convert. That new convert doesn't know how to come to God for comfort. So that, most people, most of the folks in this room, you do not know how to come to God for comfort. Now, you understand somebody else gives you comfort. If a friend comforts you, you relate to that. If a pastor comforts you, you relate to that. But most of us in this room this morning do not know how to come to get comfort from God. That means number two, statement number two. Man basically must comfort man. If God is to comfort you, I must comfort you with the comfort that God has for you that he would give to you if you knew how to approach him and receive that comfort. But since most of people do not know how to be comforted by God, you come to church on Sunday morning and I try to comfort you. And on Sunday night, I try to comfort you. Again and again, people write me notes and say, Preacher, that sermon was just for me. That was just for me. I needed that one. Why? Because they needed comfort. But most of us do not know how to come to God. Now, I'm not being unkind. I'm saying that most of us don't know how to come to God to get comfort. So because of that, God teaches some of us how to distribute the same comfort he has to offer, that we may take his comfort that is shed upon us. As we watch him comfort us, we in turn say, hey, I believe I can do that. I believe I can do to John Doe what God has just done to me. I come to God in my trial, and God gives me comfort. And I say, hey, God, I've got a heap of folks that need comfort down there in Hammond. Could you give me a supply of the comfort you just gave me? I promise you I'll distribute it to my folks at First Baptist Church of Hammond. So, Paul is saying, thank God he comforts me. Thank God he comforts me. But he says also, thank God, while he comforts me, I watch him do it. And in watching him comfort me, I say, dear God, could I have a supply of that comfort, please? I have a friend that needs comfort just like I needed it. And my friend will not come to you. My friend does not know how to come to you for comfort. My friend has come to you for salvation. But my friend does not totally understand how to come to you for comfort. So God, would you give me some of that same comfort you just gave to me? Would you give it now to me for my friend? And I'll take it and use your comfort with it to comfort my friend. I said, number one, most people do not know how to come to God for comfort. I said, number two, man then has to comfort man. Number three, man, in order to comfort man, must know how to get his comfort from God. He first gets God's comfort to him, and then he gets a supply of God's comfort for him. He sees God comfort himself. He learns how God does it. He becomes a carrier of God's comfort. Now follow me. That means, ladies and gentlemen, God is comforting you when I comfort you. I have no pastor. I have nobody to whom I can go when I have a problem and say, could you give me advice? I have none. I've got to go right to the boss man. I have no place to go and I say, I have a decision to make. I need some counsel. I have no place to go. So what happens? I go to God. Now, I don't go as a priest. You have the same access to God I have. But I go to God and I say, God, I need strength. I have burdens like my people do. But I have no pastor. Dear God, I'll never forget that day. When I was a kid growing up, I was the kind of kid, we lived right next door to, two houses from the church, one church, and then the church where my teenage years, we lived across the street from the church. I mean, just right across the street, about as close as that apartment house over there. is to our church. Maybe as close as the Catholic Church over there is. And we live across the street from the church. And when I had a problem, I went to the preacher. If my girlfriend quit me for another fella, what an idiot she was. But if my girlfriend quit me for another fella, I went over to the church. I told the preacher about it. And he comforted me. I grew up that way. And I remember when I became a pastor of a church for the first time. The first real burden I had, I thought, now I'll go to the preacher. But all of a sudden it dawned on me I didn't have a preacher. I was 150 miles from my pastor. I had no pastor. Now, I'll never forget how I felt the first time, but it dawned on me I would never probably have a pastor again. I went out to the little pine thicket behind our little parsonage in East Texas and got on my face and I cried most of the day. And I said, dear God, I don't have a preacher. I don't have a pastor. May I say this morning, I said that day in that little pine thicket, I said, dear God, you're going to have to be my pastor. And you're going to have to give me extra special care. I've always leaned on my pastor, and I'll never have one again, probably. I'd like to testify this morning what a good pastor I've had all these years. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it's been to come to God and say, here's my burden, here's my heartache, here's my problem. And God pastors me. And God comforts me. And then I say, dear God, I have people that have burdens too. I have folks that have heartaches too. Dear God, most of them are not going to spend the time with you I spend with you. Could I have, please, for next Sunday morning when I preach, could I have a supply of what you just gave to me? And God knows, I hope, when I stand here on Sunday mornings and realize that all over this building there are people that have cancer lurking in their bodies and people that have little children with incurable diseases and dozens of men who are unemployed and can't provide for your own families and your heart is breaking. God knows, I want to have the real thing. I want to have the real McCoy. I want to have the genuine comfort of God Almighty to say to you, hey, folks, I've been to God. He comforted me. I've got some for you, too. That's what I want to be able to do. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, thank God he comforts me, but thank God for that byproduct, that blessed bonus, that while he's comforting me, I watch him comfort me to learn how he comforts, and then I take that same comfort, a supply of that same comfort that God gives to me. Now take it. That means God is comforting you when I comfort you. For I come to you not with my own comfort. I do not come to you with my own strength. I do not come to you with my own power. I come this morning and say, I am not able to comfort you like you need to be comforted. But, thank God, on my face this week, I got a supply for you. Folks oftentimes go to Florida and they get some fruit for themselves. And they'll say, I bet my preacher would like to have some. And they bring me back some fruit from Florida. That's what I'm talking about. They got some for themselves and they ate it and drank the orange juice and said, I bet my preacher would have that, so they get a supply for themselves. I'll never forget that couple went to Hawaii and brought me back a pineapple. They brought that pineapple by my door and put it in a sack outside my door. And little note said, Brother Howells, we've just been to Hawaii. Here's a pineapple we got for you. But they forgot to take off the burger supermarket sticker off the pineapple. They had gone by a grocery store in the area and bought a pineapple and brought it to me because they'd been to Hawaii and I was supposed to think it was from Hawaii. But it was from burgers. Funny thing about it, I didn't find out it was from burgers until I'd eaten half of it. And the first half tasted twice as good as the second half did. That's funny. But anyway, but I come to God. And I say, dear God, thank you for being my preacher. Thank you for being my comforter. I have burdens like everybody else, but I have no pastor. Nobody stands up twice a week or three times a week and preaches to me. I don't have that. I can't sit in the pew and say, God, use my preacher to warm my heart and comfort me. God, I come to you. Comfort me. And he pours out his blessings upon me. Blessed be God. Blessed be his name. And after he finishes comforting me, and I feel the blessed sweetness of the comforting hand of God, I say, God, before I leave, I got a bunch of people a little timid about coming to you like this. And a bunch of people, some of them are young Christians, and they don't know exactly how to get your comfort. God, could you let me distribute some of that comfort? Could I have a supply for my people? And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, God is comforting you when I comfort you. But now, wait a minute. Hear me carefully. If I comfort you, that comfort cannot be transferred. When I bring you comfort this morning, I bring you comfort. The comfort that I give to you is not transferable. And if you want to enter into the comforting business, then you cannot get that from me. You've got to learn to come to God for your own comfort, because I can comfort you, but I can't give you a supply of God's comfort. You enter into comforting, you've got to come to God for that. Now, I can comfort you, and you can get your comfort from me, but you cannot get a supply of comfort from me. I do not have it. He is the source of comfort. He is the source of love. He is the source of mercy. He is the source of grace. He is the source of forgiveness. I come and say, I got some comfort for you from God. Here it is. And you can be comforted. I mean this. You can be comforted this morning in this room by me, just as if God Himself comforted you, because I got it from God. Now, let me read that verse again to you. I read it a while ago in the light of what I've said. The God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Listen, this morning I'm giving you the genuine thing. I'm giving you this morning the genuine comfort. Why? Blessed be God who comforts me in all of my tribulations. Then He enables me to know how He comforts, and I learn not only that He comforts, but how He comforts. And I come to you and say, folks, I have some comfort from God to give to you. But if you get yours from me and not straight from Him, you can get the genuine comfort, but you cannot get a supply wherewith you can comfort somebody else. So you can, though you get real comfort from God through God's people, if you want to become a distributor of God's comfort, you've got to go straight to God to get your comfort. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean I don't comfort you anymore. That doesn't mean that you don't comfort me anymore. I get a great comfort from you. I'm comforted dozens of times a week when I get notes of gratitude. I imagine this week I've received 200 notes of gratitude from people sitting in this auditorium. And that comforts me. I've become comforted by every little penny that's stuck under my door on a Sunday morning. And every little child that says, I love them, but how else? Now, I'm more comforted by every nickel. And I'm still more comforted by every quarter. And there are ways that I could be super comforted. But you comfort me. So I'm not saying that because I come to God for comfort, I don't want your comfort. And because you go to God for comfort, you don't want my comfort. I'm simply saying that you can get from me, and I can get from you, genuine comfort from God, from people who have been straight to God for comfort. And if you decide you want to not only be comforted, but you want a comfort with God's comfort, then you've got to go to God for your comfort, not ceasing to come to me. Not ceasing to need me. Not ceasing to need other people that comfort you. But continue to receive that comfort from others. And at the same time, you go to God and say, God, I come to you for comfort. And God comforts you. And you say, Zowie, what comfort? I'd like for my friend to have that. I'd like for my wife to have that. I'd like for my son to have that. And God, you say, God, could I have a supply of that? You see, this comfort cannot be transferred. Number six, someday you may become one of the ones who can take comfort from God. I got comfort from God. I wish everybody could have it. I bet I could do it. I go to God for comfort to get a supply for myself, give you some, you grow, you come to God for yourself, you get a supply, and you can comfort somebody else also. Now I'll illustrate and I'll be through. When I was a kid, if I got sick, I went to Mommy. Mama comforted me. Boy, she always knew how to do it. I don't care what was wrong, Mama could fix it. We're talking this morning in the pastor's study, I won't share it with you, but about some ways that Mama would always fix it. Now, when my dad left, I threw my head in Mama's lap, and Mama comforted me. I went across the street to the church, went to my pastor's office, and I said, "Preacher, my daddy's leaving. My daddy left today." And my pastor comforted me. And my pastor would see me in the hallway and say, "I'm praying for you, Jackie boy." And my mother comforted me. Thank God today for my preacher. He's in heaven, but thank God for him. Thank God for the man who stood up every Sunday morning and every Sunday night as God's man and comforted me and strengthened me. And thank God for the personal interest he took in me. And thank God for my mother. I sang this morning, the choir did, the last song that Mother and I ever sang together. She came out of her coma, and I held her hand alone in a room where she died the next day. And we sang together about 24 hours before she died. "Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky." We sang it together the last full day that Mama lived, holding hands and singing. I got drafted in World War II. After I got drafted, I joined the paratroopers. I had never spent one night away from my mama. Never. I'd never spent the night with a friend. And by the way, if you want to know my opinion, I don't think you do, but I think it's sort of stupid. You want to go see a friend, go stay awake with him, don't sleep with him. Man, that's just up to you. I don't care. It's not a sin. I just think it's sort of dumb. Slumber parties, I just don't care for them. I like staying awake parties myself. I'm like the fella. somebody said, "You know how to dance?" He said, "Not me, brother. I'd rather hug sitting down." But anyhow, just a few things don't affect me a great deal. But I had never spent one night away from my mother. Never. I was 18 years old. Already sworn in the United States Army. Well, I mean, I swore at the United States Army, but I was already sworn in. "Hi, Jack Hiles, do come to this corny mess." And I was already in. 3864679, my serial number. I was in. And then they put me on a train, the train station in Dallas, Texas. 1944. I'd never been away from my mother one night. And late at night, I boarded a train. Didn't know where I was going. They didn't. You know how the government is. They didn't know where I was going either. I didn't know where I was going. And they put me on a train. The first night in my life I ever spent the night outside the same house of my mother. I'd never been to a camp. Just every night. 18 years every night. I cannot tell you how I felt. Loneliest night of my life, nearly, up to then. And I put my head in the pillow on the train. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And I said, "Dear God, I don't have a pastor. I don't have a mama. I come to you." And I did.
I wish I could tell you how wonderful God is. I wish you knew the greatness of His comfort, the greatness of His love. I long for you to know He's real. He's real. I long for you to know it. And that night, for the first time in my life, I had to come straight to God for comfort. And I did. Woke up the next morning in Fort Sam Houston, Texas. Next night, they put me in a little pup tent where I was going to learn how to live a dog's life. They put me in a little pup tent. There's a big fence over there about 10 feet away, and they said that fence separates you from the German prisoners of war. Everybody on that side of that fence is a prisoner of war. German. I said, is the fence in good shape? And that night, in a little pup tent, I was praying, oh God, help me. And I heard on the other side of the tent, it was one of the soldier boys that just got drafted with me. He was sobbing uncontrollably in the night. And I got up out of my little improvised bed and crawled across the tent. And I put my arm around him and I said, fella, my name's Jack Hyatt. What's your trouble?
He said, I'm homesick. And I'm scared.
And I said, last night, neighbor, was the first night that I ever spent away from my mother. And I put my head in the pillow on the train last night. The fellow won't tell you what God did. God comforted me. Fella, I believe He can do the same thing for you. And I gave Him, that second night I was in the army, the same thing that God had given me the first night I was in the army. God had always comforted me with the real thing from Mama and my preacher. But now there's no Mama. There's no preacher. I said to some of the staff men last night. And I probably shouldn't say this. It's probably boasting. But I said to some of the fellows yesterday morning and last night one, I said, I worry sometimes. I worry what would happen to some of our people if something happened to me. I wonder where some folks should go when they need help. I worry about it. I want you to need me. But I want every one of you as soon as possible, not only to have my comfort, but I'd like to point you to one who gave it to me. And the one who has an ample supply, not only to comfort you, but to give you comfort to give to others. That's what He meant when He said it. And I love this scripture. And the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. May I tell you this morning, He's a wonderful God. A wonderful God. And He can comfort you by us, by me, by others, with genuine comfort. But I am not the possessor of all comfort. I'm the possessor of what I could pick up when I was there. But if you'll come to Him, not only will He give you comfort for your tribulation, He'll say, wait a minute. Hey, hold it. Wait a minute. Before you leave, you take this to some of my people who don't know yet how to come to me. I go down to Georgia a lot. I love Georgia pecans. Love them. Love them. If I ever have to go through the wilderness from Egypt to Canaan, I want God to drop Georgia pecans every morning from heaven. Love them. Sometimes I'll be in Georgia and somebody will say, "Preacher, I got some pecans for you." Now they say, "I got a boy in your college. Would you take a bag to him?" Funny thing about it, he just said, "Take the bag." So I do. That's what God says. God says, "I got some comfort for you. Before you leave, would you take some to Bill and Joe and Mary and Susie and others? And then would you tell them why you're giving it to them in case they'd like to spread some around too?" They have to come straight to me for that. The God of all comfort. I wish I could sing. If I could sing, I'd sing right now. "He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful Savior to me." And He is. He's the God of all comfort. I come to Him and say, "God, I need comfort. I've got troubles. I've got heartaches. I've got burdens." He says, "I got comfort. All comfort you need." Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I turned to walk away. He said, "Wait a minute. Did I give you some to deliver?" I come back from most everywhere I go with a stack of letters from people, our college students. They'll give me a letter and they'll say, "Would you take these back to the college, the students?" That's what God says. God says, "I'll give you comfort. But you got some students housed under some college that need some. You want to take some back with them, to them? You got some people with burdens and heartaches. Got some folks who are sick. You want to take some back to them? I'd like to. May I recommend that you keep coming on Sundays and that you keep listening and that you keep giving me the opportunity to give you the comfort that I get from Him for you. And may I recommend you never stop that. But may I recommend on occasion you tiptoe to the source of it all, the God of all comfort, and say, 'God, I got some children that need help too. I've got a Sunday school class that needs comfort. I've got a wife or a husband that needs comfort. I've got a brother or sister that needs comfort. I've got some friends that need comfort. And Lord, they're not grown in grace enough yet to know to come to you. Could you give me some of what you just gave me? I think I know after watching you give it how I can give it to them.'" It's a wonderful Savior with wonderful comfort, our Heavenly Father. I don't want to quit. I want to brag on you all day. I want to stay behind this pulpit and just brag on you and brag on you and brag on you and brag on you all day. But it's time to go. Oh, God, who comforts me, comfort through me Thy people. And then may I encourage them also to come to Thee. For the same quality comfort I give, but I don't have the quantity to give them a supply for their friends and loved ones. Thank You for Yourself. Our heads are bowed.